Today, we're going to continue on in our series, God Is. Remember, we talked about God is Almighty and God is Sovereign. And so today, we're going to talk about God is Holy. God is Holy. So when you think of the word holy, what do you think about? I mean, that's a pretty big word, holy. And someone has said that holy is to be distinct, separate, in a class by oneself, a cut above the rest. And the meaning for holy, the word means to be set apart. And secondly, it means utterly pure, separated from sin. So the picture which comes to my mind is a picture of a white dove with a blaring light behind it that's all pure, right? Or the other picture is the white tablecloth. I remember I've been at a number of weddings, actually, where there's white tablecloths and you walk in and it's just spotless. There's not even the smallest hint of anything on that white tablecloth. I mean, these pictures are pure. They're spotless. They're perfect. And I believe when we think of the word holy, we think of something that is unattainable to us. We think of God's holiness and how can we even attain that? And you know, for a long time when I would read 1 Peter 1:16, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy," I would cringe and I would think, how can I be holy as you are holy? Like, how could I even measure up to the holiness of God? And I would compare it to eating at that table, eating supper on that table with the white linen cloth on it that's spotless, that's not even has a speck of dirt on it. And I would sit down to eat and I'd be so filled with fear that I would slop on the tablecloth. Have you been there? I've been there. I did the slop. I did the mess. But that's what I would relate this piece of scripture to. Be holy as I am holy. Like, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be that holy because I'll mess up. And I do. There just didn't seem to be any way for me to be holy. Yet I learned, I've been crucified with Christ, Paul wrote. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And Paul also tells us that our lives are hidden in Christ, hidden with Christ in God, and that we have been seated with God in the heavenly realms with Christ. I mean, this passage reveals that we are united with Christ. We're united with Jesus. He dwells in us and we dwell in Him. So we can say that in Christ, God's holiness is in us. In Christ, I am holy. And only in Christ am I holy. You didn't have to all say amen to that. No, you did. Thank you. We are holy because and only because God is holy. When we come into His presence, into the presence of our holy God, what do we see? Let's take a look at the prophet Isaiah and what he saw when he came in to the presence of his holy God. Because God is holy, Isaiah saw that God, a God who left him awestruck. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. Can you imagine being at that scene? Can you imagine being there in the very presence of the holy God? I mean, there's God sitting on his throne, and the seraphs are flying around, worshiping Him. I can't imagine it. But I know if I was there, I would be falling down on my knees or right on my face, awestruck because of the holy God. See, God is holy, and because of His presence, that explodes everything inside us. Our senses just go wild, and we're awestruck. Many years ago, I was in the Crofton Volunteer Fire Department on Vancouver Island. And one day we had a call out, and there was a brush fire on Maple Mountain, which was just on the outskirts of Crofton. And I was running the radio in the fire department. The fire truck had gone out, and I was running the radio, and forestry had come, and forestry made the call, and they called for the water bomber to come in and drop some water on the fire. So I called, I phoned Kath, and I just said, hey, there's going to be a water bomber flying over. And she went out on the deck, our sun deck in our house. And first the spotter plane came over, and as the spotter plane came and it flew away, then the Mars water bomber came over. And she said, as she stood on that deck, that she felt that that water bomber was so close that she could reach out and touch it. It was massive. I mean, that, and it's flying really low across Crofton, actually right across the top of our house. It was huge, and the roar of the engines were amazing. Kath was a new Christian, and she was completely awestruck by this magnificent plane that flew down and was going to drop water on the mountain. It was the first time she'd ever seen a Mars water bomber, and she was so awestruck. And then at the same moment, this thought came to her. I am so awestruck by this water bomber, I need to be that awestruck by God, by an almighty, sovereign, and holy God. It just really struck her as that happened. And you know, this plane is big, and when it flies low, when it flies by you, it roars, but it is nothing compared to how big and mighty and holy our sovereign God is. That is minuscule compared to God. When we encounter him, we should be awestruck. But Isaiah not only saw his holy God as one who left him awestruck, but he also saw his holy God as one who produced worship in those around him. As we read on in Isaiah 6, verses 3 and 4, we read these words. And they were calling, and they are the seraphs, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. As I read this, I'm just drawn in to worship. Like, you just want to get in there with the seraphs, right? And go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is mighty and powerful, and he is holy. And I just worship you, God. I mean, we just get drawn in there. And it doesn't mean that we have to be as loud as the seraphs. I mean, the seraphs were so loud that the doorpost shook and the threshold shook. I mean, it would be like an earthquake. And it doesn't mean that we have to worship in a certain place. We can worship by just bowing down and being quiet before the Lord. We can worship anywhere. We can worship whether we're in church or in our car, on a ski hill, out boating, or sitting alone at home. When our son Owen was born, Kath was in the hospital in Duncan, and I had gone to see her. I was there when he was born, and I was just driving home back to Crofton. And as I was driving back, I just started worshiping God. The tears just were flowing down my cheeks that God had given me another child. And it was just that spontaneous worship, because he was so holy, because he would see fit, as messed up as I was, that he would bring another child into my life that I could raise. Kathy and I could raise. See, the more we see God's holiness, the more we're drawn into worshiping him. The closer we get to God, the closer we'll worship, the more we'll worship. It just produces worship in us. You talk to any worship leader or anyone on a worship team, and they will tell you, as they're just playing and as they're just practicing and as they're just maybe playing by themselves, thinking what they're going to lead on the Sunday, they will get caught up in worship. Because God is holy, Isaiah was left awestruck with a desire to worship, but also with a need to confess his sins. As we continue to read on in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, we read these words. "Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah, in the presence of the Most Holy God, sees himself for who he really is. He sees himself as a sinner, as one who's fallen short in the presence of a holy God. Whenever we see God for who he is, we will then see ourselves for who we really are, as we see God for who he is. Think about it. If we came into the presence of one of the drug cartels, and we sat down in their presence, and they were telling us about all the evil things that they had done, the people they had murdered, the people they had tortured, the drugs they'd given to young children and that, as we're sitting in their presence, do you think our sins would come to light? But yet, when we sit into the presence of the Most Holy God, even the smallest sin comes to light. If we yield ourselves to the Holy God and say, "Examine me," it all comes to light. The more the light, the more dirt, dust, and cobwebs we see. When I got saved in the church in Duncan, they had lights that hung from the ceiling. The ceiling was very, well, probably no higher than this, but it just the way it went up, and they had these light chandelier-type things. They weren't chandeliers, but they hung from the ceiling. And you know, on a beautiful summer day, the light shone through the upper windows, and you could see all the cobwebs because nobody could get up there to clean them. But you'd see it. If you come into our house, don't tell Kathy this, but if you come into our house and the sun's shining through the window on a beautiful day, you can see the dust on the tables. Even if Kath has just dusted the day before, you can see the dust that's fallen on the table. You can see the dust in the air. And that's just God's sunlight. What about God's holiness shining into our lives? See, God is holy. And when his light shines into our lives and he reveals the sin in our lives, what else can we do but bow before him and confess our sin and ask him to forgive us? And because God is holy, Isaiah saw more. He saw a God who wants to and even desires to cleanse us. Listen as we read on in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, these words. "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" It's no different today. When we come to God and we confess our sins, God is holy. And as we draw close to him, he cleanses us through the power of Jesus Christ. He will purify us and take our guilt away. In Hebrews, Romans, it says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He will make us white as snow. He will purify us. He wants to cleanse us. As I was studying for this message, I came across an article about an ermine. I don't know if any of you know this little guy. I didn't know him. But for centuries, the garments of European rulers and judges were lined with the fur, with the white fur of the ermine. These little animals live in the northern hemisphere, you think northern Canada, northern Europe. And in the summertime, their coats are brown, except for their bellies and their little legs are white. But when winter comes, their coats change, and they become pure white, except for the little black tip on their tails. Kind of a cute little guy. The ermine seems to realize the beauty of its coat and takes great pride in maintaining it. This little animal will do anything to protect his coat. So rather than snaring the animals, the hunters would find the dens of the animals. And the dens were in a hole in a rock or in a hole in a hollowed out tree. And once they found the den, they would take some grime and put it all around the outside, the edges of the hole, and then inside the den as well. And then they would take their dogs and they would set their dogs out after the ermine. And the ermine would freak out and run for its den as fast as it could go. But you know, when the ermine got to the den and saw the grime that would get on his coat, he wouldn't go in the den. He was going to protect his coat. He was going to preserve his purity. For the ermine, the purity of his coat was more precious than his life. So God comes and he cleanses us. And he makes us as white as snow. Because he is holy and we've become holy through his holiness. What will we do to maintain that holiness in our lives? Will we stay away from those things that will soil the holiness in our lives? Just like that little guy will not go in the home, he'll do anything to maintain the purity of his coat. Will we do what it takes to maintain the purity of God's holiness in our lives? Because God is holy, Isaiah saw a desire in him to serve his holy God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 states, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" See, Isaiah encountered a holy God and was quick to say, we don't hear any hesitation. He says, "Here am I, send me. Who shall have sent? Send me." And I believe the reason Isaiah was so quick to say, "Here am I, send me," is because he knew that God was sending him to the people of Israel to tell them about the holy God he knew. So Isaiah wanted them to know what a great and mighty God there was out there, and that they could know the holy God just as he did. And so he was quick to say, "Send me. I'll go to my neighbors. I'll go across the street. I'll go around the block." How can we keep the good news of God is holy from anyone? You know, I just looked at Myrna, and she brought an interesting thought to my mind. Myrna, where she lives, she asked us to come and do services there. And so we went, did a service, and there was just Myrna there. She was the only one in the Thompson Manor there. She was the only one that came to the service. And she said to Kathy and I, "My desire is that somebody else will come if we just hold a service." In other words, Myrna's desire is that somebody might know that holy God. If somebody would just know that holy God. And do you know, for the last 3 months, we've been going for over a year, just Myrna, Kathy, and myself. But for the last 3 months, there's another fellow that's been coming to the service. Now, he can't see very well, so he can't read the words of the hymns, but he comes and he listens to the music and he tells us how good we sing. He's a good guy. I think he's got problems with his hearing, but... Or he's just listening to Kathy and Myrna. But, do you know, he comes and he hears the little message that we give about the salvation of Christ and about the holy God. How can we keep the good news of the holy God to ourselves? God is holy, and what a difference that should make in our lives. Are we awestruck and filled with worship when we come into the presence of our holy God? Are we brought to a place of confession and repentance where we just welcome the cleansing that God and only God has for us because he is holy? Will we serve? Will we share our holy God with others so they will know that there is a holy God who loves them? God is holy, and that truth should and needs to change our lives. We should not be the same when we encounter the holy God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the holy God. And Father, we are awestruck when we come into your presence because we see how holy you are and how unholy we are. We're so thankful that you look at us through the precious blood of Jesus. Father, may we share that incredible holiness that you have with those around us, that they might know and come to that knowledge that there is a God who is holy and loves them and wants to make them pure and holy as well. We surrender our lives to you, Lord. Thank you for being holy and pouring into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.